Let us turn together to God's Word as we find it in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. We consider this morning the means of grace which God has given to the church for the faith of her members. We are instructed regarding this subject in Lord's Day 25 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Since then, we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. What are sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals, appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. Namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sins and eternal life for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon the one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Two. Namely, Holy Baptism and the Holy Supper. We'd also like to read the Belgic Confession and what it has to say about the sacraments in general. In Article 33, we believe that our gracious God, on account of our weakness and infirmities, hath ordained the sacraments for us, thereby to seal unto us his promises, and to be pledges of the good will and grace of God toward us, and also to nourish and strengthen our faith, which he has joined to the word of the gospel, the better to present to our senses both that which he signifies to us by his word and that which he works inwardly in our hearts, thereby assuring and confirming in us the salvation which he imparts to us. For they are visible signs and seals of an inward and invisible thing, by means whereof God worketh in us, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Therefore the signs are not in vain or insignificant, so as to deceive us. For Jesus Christ is the true object presented by them, without whom they would be of no moment. Moreover, we are satisfied with the number of the sacraments which Christ our Lord has instituted, which are two only, namely the sacrament of baptism and the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole of the Catechism, beloved, teaches us the truth that our salvation from beginning to end is of grace alone. That's a precious and wonderful truth to the Reformed believer. We know ourselves to be totally depraved sinners, wholly incapable of changing our own sinful nature. We know ourselves to be guilty and worthy of condemnation. We know that by our works we can only, outside of Jesus Christ, we can only continually add to the guilt of our sin. But God, by his marvelous grace, in Christ Jesus saves us. He does that through the wonderful work of justification. The truth of our justification, according to Lord's Day 23, is all of grace alone. God, without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. Even our faith is a gift of God's grace. We acknowledge that our faith is not our own work or our free will decision to accept Jesus Christ. But the faith that we have by the power of God's grace working in us. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Scripture teaches us various aspects of meaning of the wonderful truth of God's grace. God's grace is His unmerited favor towards us in Jesus Christ. God's grace is also the power of God by the Holy Spirit in our heart, whereby He works faith in our heart and accomplishes His work of salvation in our heart. When we are considering the subject of the means of grace, the meaning is especially that these are the means that God, through the Holy Spirit, works by His power in order to save us. Even as our salvation is all of grace, so are the means that God has ordained and given to the church. They are therefore rightly called the means of grace. The powerful means of God's grace that He has given to the church and for the working of our faith and salvation. Lord's Day 25 speaks of the two means of grace, the preaching of the Holy Gospel and the secondary means, the sacraments. It doesn't have a very lengthy discussion regarding the chief means of grace, namely the preaching of the gospel. It has a more extensive discussion regarding the sacraments. But we must realize that already in several Lord's Days, the Heidelberg Catechism has discussed the important matter of the preaching of the gospel in Lord's Day 6, in Lord's Day 7, and later on in Lord's Day 31. The preaching of the gospel is the power whereby the kingdom is open and shut. This morning, we speak of the means that God uses, God Himself uses, to work faith and to strengthen faith in our heart. We consider then God's working of faith in our hearts. Notice first of all, the Spirit's means that He uses to work our faith. Secondly, what those two means are. And finally, to whom both of these direct us, even to Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. Our salvation is worked in our heart through the Holy Spirit. It has been accomplished outside of us by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. By His death, by His resurrection, by His exaltation, Jesus is the mighty Lord of our salvation. By His work of His sacrifice on the cross, we are justified in the sight of God. His sacrifice is the only ground of our righteousness that shall never be overthrown. The basis for the whole of our salvation, therefore, is the work of Christ outside of us. But the same God who has accomplished our salvation outside of us in Jesus Christ also works that salvation in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Salvation is not merely an external gift to be accepted or rejected according to man's pleasure and dependent upon the will of man to work out. According to the gospel, salvation is worked by the sovereign, irresistible, wonderful operation of the Holy Spirit in our heart. That work is an effectual work. It always accomplishes the purpose of God in the hearts of His elect. It is a powerful work. It breaks our rebellious hearts. It changes our unbelief unto faith. It causes us to submit ourselves to God. And it makes us ready and willing to be able to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. In our regeneration, that work of God by the Spirit is an immediate work. You catechism students have recently been taught that again. We believe in immediate regeneration, meaning that the very first work of God in us is accomplished by a direct, wonderful, sovereign work of the Spirit of God in our hearts. God continues to work in our regenerated heart to bring us to conversion and to consciousness of faith. He works by His grace and by the wonderful operations of His Holy Spirit in the depth of our existence. He works the wonderful work of faith so that we can and do believe. He works the very ability, the power of faith in our hearts through His Holy Spirit. And He causes that work to become conscious in us. Also through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He does that through the means that we call the means of grace. That term means that God, the Spirit of God, uses means. And these means are those whom He Himself has ordained in the church, and they are means through which He works continually in our hearts, and that should be an amazing thing for us. Daily, continually, even now, He is working in our hearts through the means that He has ordained, namely the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments. He brings about our conversion, our daily conversion. He strengthens our weak faith. He admonishes us to turn away from our sin. He strengthens our weak faith. He brings our infant faith to maturity, causing us to be filled with the measure, the full measure of Jesus Christ. So in Hebrews 12, we are told that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, we are told that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, but they are worked in us through the Spirit of God. Still today, continually, therefore, God is working in us. He lives in our heart. He's working in our heart. By the mysterious and wonderful operation of His Holy Spirit, He is accomplishing in us a work that no one else could ever accomplish. Not even a great preacher, a very persuasive preacher. No matter how eloquent, as the apostle says in 1 Corinthians 2, we came not to you with excellency of speech, with eloquence of men, but we came to you with the demonstration of the power of God. God is pleased through the power of the preaching of the gospel to work in our hearts and to strengthen the faith that He has worked in our hearts. And He Himself has added to the preaching of the word the sacraments. These are not able by themselves, independent from the word of God, to work anything in us. This is one of the chief errors of the Church of Rome. This church has wrongly exalted the sacraments and minimized the preaching. For many centuries, she has done that, and she continues to do that. The Reformed churches have the pulpit in the center, indicating that the preaching of the word is the chief means that God uses to work and to strengthen faith, and the sacraments are secondary means. They are dependent upon the preaching, and they are to be administered in connection with the primary means of grace, which is the preaching of the gospel. God Himself, by His Holy Spirit, has ordained in the church the preaching of the gospel. It's not an invention of man. It cannot be changed in the imagination that there is a better means to work faith in our hearts. It is God who has ordained that the preaching is His means, whereby He Himself works faith in our hearts and strengthens that faith. The preaching is the declaration of God's Word. The Holy Gospel is the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. His cross, His resurrection, His exaltation, and the hope of His return. God will have that gospel to be preached throughout the whole world, as He taught us in Matthew 28, the very fact that That is declared in Matthew 28, the command to the church to preach the gospel throughout the whole world is a clear indication that this is the means, the power of God, whereby the elect from all nations are brought to repentance and faith. Many other passages in God's Word teach us the power of the preaching of the gospel. So the apostle tells us in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In Romans 10 that we just read, we are told that same truth, that God is pleased to save His people through the power of the preaching of the gospel, and therefore ministers of the gospel must be sent forth, ordained, called and ordained by the church and sent forth in order that the gospel might be preached with all authority and in power unto the salvation of God's people. And we were just talking about that in the Bible history classes, because we are beginning the treatment of the preaching of the gospel to all nations. And what a wonder it is, beloved. What a wonder it is that we have received by God's grace the preaching of the gospel, when we consider especially that millions, billions of people, even today in 2013, have never heard the preaching of the gospel according to God's sovereign purpose. He has caused the gospel to be preached in our midst, and by the power of the gospel, He has brought us to faith and repentance. Let none of us deny this amazing truth. The wonder of God's grace goes forth through the power of the preaching of the gospel. So the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 21, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to the world. And it is today too. It's utter foolishness. The world imagines that there are far more significant things and greater powers than the preaching of the gospel. But God tells us in His Word that the preaching of the gospel is His power. The power through which He operates by His sovereign and effectual and almighty Spirit to work faith in the hearts of His elect people. He works faith in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He convicts us of sin by the Holy Spirit. He enlightens our mind. He causes us to know His truth and enables us to believe by His living power through the means of the preaching of the gospel. We have faith in our heart to appropriate with mind and heart the wonderful truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many passages of Scripture emphasize the power and the wonder of the preaching of the gospel? God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light and knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And He does that through the power of the preaching of the gospel. When we speak of that power, we mean by that, of course, that the preaching is the declaration of God's Word. God is pleased to prepare, to call and to ordain ministers of the gospel, and they are to declare in the midst of the church the whole counsel of the Word of God. They are to declare the truth, all of the truth, keeping back nothing of the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit accompanies that preaching. Not man himself, not even the preacher himself can in any way affect faith and salvation in the hearts of God's people. But God does by His Holy Spirit. He works in our heart a power, a wonderful power that nothing, no one else can ever work. And He works that in our hearts. The gospel, the preaching of the gospel for God's elect is not something merely external, nor is it a mere superficial stirring up of the emotions, according to the parable of our Lord, of the sower. There are those whose emotions are stirred up and they might come to the front in an emotionally charged rally to supposedly accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that it is only God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, that can work faith in our hearts, the spiritual center of our being. It is only by His Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, that we are brought to faith and to the full measure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What a blessing, beloved, is the preaching of the gospel, even though it is proclaimed by sinful men who are weak in themselves, as the Apostle Paul also repeatedly says. It is God's wonderful work to accomplish in our hearts, to change our lives, to deliver us from darkness into His marvelous light, to change our natural unbelief into true faith in God and in Jesus Christ. That's the wonder of the preaching of the gospel, and God has added to the preaching of the gospel the sacraments. These are holy signs and seals, visible representation of the invisible grace of God and the operations of His Holy Spirit. God, in the sacraments, as both of our confessions that we read this morning teach us, God accommodates to our human weakness. He has given us visible signs and seals that He Himself has instituted in the church and that bear His authority and through whom He works in the church and in the hearts of her members to strengthen the faith of His people. He has given two sacraments and only two. Namely, holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Church of Rome corrupted the sacraments. It did so when it began a false teaching regarding the power of the sacraments in themselves, and that false teaching led the church away from Christ. Because of that false teaching, there was the need of adding 5 additional sacraments, which are false. They are not sacraments. The sacraments are those which God, by Christ, has instituted in the church, and these are only the ordinances of God through which He works, which are His visible signs and His seals. They are not mere outward signs, but they are spiritual signs ordained and instituted by God Himself, through which God is pleased to strengthen our weak faith. Wonderful gifts of God. And God intended that both of these means of grace should direct us to the person and to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to imagine that the sacraments have superstitious power in themselves. This, in the history of the church, has led the church, even in her observance of these sacraments, to accursed idolatry. That's so serious. The corruption of the sacraments in the Church of Rome is it has led the church to the accursed idolatry of trust in the elements, the water of baptism and the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. It has changed the very idea of the sacraments, corrupted the sacraments, and has led the Church of Rome into cursed idolatry. The Reformed Church, by the grace of God, have the sacraments again. They were restored as to their proper meaning and significance in the church. And so we have the beautiful question and answer 67 of Lord's Day 25. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon the one sacrifice of Christ which He has offered on the cross. 2 sacraments, the only 2 that we need, by which Christ, through His Holy Spirit, blesses His church and its members. Baptism is the sign of the Holy Spirit and our regeneration by His wonderful work in our heart. Baptism is also a sign that by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we are incorporated into the body of Christ. We are baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. According to Ephesians chapter 4, the unity of the Spirit in the church is this, that there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we have baptism, the sign of our being born again, and the washing away of all of our sins, not only the sins that we were born with and that we inherited from our fallen parents, but all of our sins. We don't need another sacrament added to signify the washing away of sins that we have committed since the time of our baptism. Christ has given one sacrament to the church that testifies of the washing away of all of our sins. Every sin that we would ever commit, also those sins that we have committed, and they are many, after our baptism. Baptism assures us that in the blood of Christ, by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, all of our sins are washed away. And by the Lord's Supper, Christ gives us the blessed assurance of our continual communion and fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ. Not only do we enjoy that fellowship at the very time when the sacrament is administered in the church and Christ is present by His Spirit in the church to bless us and to confirm our faith, but the Lord's Supper is the sign and the seal of God and of Jesus Christ that we have continual communion with God and with Jesus Christ. The two sacraments also distinguish God's people from the world. Baptism is the sign that we belong to Christ. The Lord's Supper is the sign that we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. These two sacraments have been given to the church in order that she might be distinguished from the world, and through them she proclaims her faith, her trust, her glory in Jesus Christ alone. Beloved, what does all of that mean practically? It means this, beloved, that we must be thankful for the means that God has instituted in His church. Many who call themselves Christians today hardly, if ever, attend the worship service. And when they refuse to do that, when they are worldly instead, they separate themselves from the means of grace. They despise the means that God Himself has given to faith, for faith, in His church, and despising these means, they despise the very God who gave these means to the church. In the church, the preaching of the gospel must be upheld. The church must be concerned that that preaching is truly the declaration of the whole counsel of God and of Jesus Christ, and not in any way corrupted by the word of men. Members of the church must faithfully attend the worship services where the word of God is preached, acknowledging, confessing that God Himself is working through that means that He Himself has ordained in the church. And we are, beloved, to submit to that preaching. We are called to listen to it carefully and prayerfully and reverently, knowing that it is the power of God unto faith, to build us up in the faith, to cause us to grow unto the full measure of Jesus Christ so that we are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the slight and cunning craftiness of men. We must insist on the pure preaching of the gospel in the midst of the church, and we must show our regard for what God has given to His church by diligent attendance, faithful hearing, reverent hearing, submissive hearing of the preaching of the gospel. And we must also be thankful that He has given to us the sacraments. We remember with thanksgiving our baptism, the sign and the seal of the washing away of our sins, the sign that we belong to Christ in His church. We love the Lord's Supper. We come examining ourselves and preparing ourselves to partake of the holy sacrament that Christ has given to His church. And when we honor these means and receive them by faith, beloved, then God is with us and we grow strong in the faith and we can endure the trials and temptations of our life. And God is the one who strengthens and preserves us by His own means. May God help us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee for the means of grace instituted in the church. The means whereby Thou dost work, through which Thou art pleased to work in our hearts, true and steadfast and strong faith. Preserve, O Lord, in our midst the true preaching of the Holy Gospel. Bless Thy servant as he proclaims the gospel with authority and with the power of the Holy Spirit. And bless us that we might also have a holy regard for the sacraments in our midst. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.